All right, there was a buzz going around. There was. Can I have the input switch for that for me, real quick? There was. It was first century. It was in the Sea of Galilee area, and there was a buzz going around. If there was Twitter, Jesus was trending. Like, miracles were happening. People started to hear that wine was being made out of water at a wedding. People who had sicknesses for years were being healed. Ben told the story the other day of a bunch of fishermen, skilled people who were skilled being out on the water, were scared for their lives out on the Sea of Galilee with the waves and the storm. And this dude wakes up from a nap and goes, "Stop!" Do you think people heard about that? There was a buzz going around. And in Matthew's gospel, it says that there was a buzz going around. People were starting to talk, and they were wanting to, some of the people, the leaders, were trying to start to go, what's going on with this? And they knew that John the Baptist was associated with this a little bit, because he was the one who baptized Jesus and started his ministry. And he had been thrown into prison because he was kind of riling some things up, and he was calling some leaders out for some things that they shouldn't be doing. And all of a sudden, the leaders decided to kill John the Baptist, cut his head off, brought it on a platter. And John's disciples came and found Jesus, and they told him what had happened, that his cousin, the one that came before him, had died. Now, I'm guessing by the time they found Jesus and his disciples, they had maybe told a few other people, because buzz was starting to come, because they're going, man, stuff's getting real. Miracles are happening. And I think this guy might be the one. Over the last few weeks at Encounter, we've been talking about all of these prophecies that were beginning to be fulfilled in this converging point. And the people are starting to wonder, is this it? Is this the one? Because this stuff is awesome. Wow. And so people are starting to follow Jesus in larger and larger crowds. And so when they heard about John the Baptist and this was coming, and they heard, oh, Jesus is heading from the boat, he's going from here over to the other side of the lake, people are like, let's go, because I think something big's about to happen tonight. And so people from all the little towns around the Sea of Galilee leave their homes and go and try to, and they meet Jesus and his disciples on the other side. And I just picture like the Miller family, you know, they got a bunch of kids, right? And so they're like, we got to go see Jesus, because he's, something's about to happen. And so like Ben and Joe are just like, come on, boys, and Nora too, and let's go. And they're like heading out the door. And thankfully, the firstborn child, Elijah's like, guys, Nora's going to get hungry and fussy. We need to bring some snacks, because it's dinner time. Okay. And so he quick goes to the fridge, and he grabs a Lunchable. And he heads, and the whole family goes, and hundreds of families, actually thousands of people, show up on this hillside. And God's about to do something really cool. Let's read what it has to say here. I should probably turn on my remote. There we go. Okay. After this, Jesus crossed over the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. We know what that is now, don't we? All right, and Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look. Was that creepy? Sorry. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? I love these little like side things that are in the Bible. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. So he's like, hey, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people, knowing that they're like, you know, in Clinton in the woods, and there really isn't like a mire just down the road. He knew this. He's testing Philip. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here. He's got a Lunchable. He's got five barley loaves and two fish. He was the firstborn child who's like, Mom and dad, we got to feed little sister here. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. And if those men are anything like Ben Miller, there's like 17,000 people there then. All of their kids. Then Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. And afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. That's a good Lunchable. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers. I'm like, man, there's like 5 pieces of cheese. You see, it's like, what, 8 pieces of turkey there? Some crackers? I think I might get like a Hershey's bar. And there's leftovers? They picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. And when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet that we have been expecting. Let's pray. God, you have been speaking loud this weekend. You have been renaming. You have been redeeming. You have been recreating. This morning, God, we want to bring our Lunchable to the table. We want to surrender. We want you to feed thousands of people. Would you continue to move and to speak in us this morning? Would you continue to press your son Jesus deep into our hearts so that the gospel will take root in all corners of the world through us? So that rather than just one light in the church and steeple, that there would be a whole display of lights, bringing light into darkness. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, you've heard me talk about it before, but I love this story because this is one of the best examples of God's economy. He says this, I got it. I'll take a few loaves of bread and a couple fish, and I'm going to feed thousands of people. Not just feed them so much that they're full, and then there will be more. What? Y'all, are you about ready to give up with what the world's economy says on how life is meant to work? Have you not heard enough stories this weekend of people who said, bow hunting? Use that, God. Okay. I'll take that Lunchable. And I'm gonna feed a whole zip code of people up there and reintroduce them to the Creator and reintroduce them to relationships with people around them. I'll use bow hunting. Okay. You've heard redemptive stories. You've heard some things going on, and I love God's economy. When you look at what happened, I told you, when you look at my story, when that dining room table experience happened and my wife told me that she felt like she didn't know me anymore, I am now so grateful that she did that. I am so grateful because that was the turning point that sparked God getting a hold of me and saying, hey, Robbie, you've had empowering others to live a life worthy of your calling as your mission statement for like 5 years. You don't even know what your own calling is. Are you about ready to listen? I had a website that said, helping others find their calling. Didn't even know who I was. I didn't even know my own. And so God dialed in the lens and he began to focus things in. And over that period of a couple of years, I went through a similar exercise just like you all did this weekend, and someone guided me through and helped me look back, and all of a sudden I'm seeing the ups and the downs in my life, and it's all starting to dial in, and I'm going, is there a need in the world that I'm best suited to meet here? Because this all just seems random. I'm a whiteboarder, and so I've just got a whole room full of dry erase board surfaces, and so I'm just like, I just fill up word clouds, and I've got these statements that as I looked over my turns and as I put my life out on that one page, and I'm looking at that, and all of a sudden these words are coming out, and I've got things like, I don't know, the next generation, there's something about that I have to be a part of. People, serve, submit, and invest are words that just kind of came out. Aesthetic. And beautiful space and design. Like, what does that have to do with this and people? And I've got relationships matter and strategy matters. And I've got this junior in high school going, I just love that gas station is there now. And I'm looking at all of these things. And God takes all of that and he just gives me a moment of clarity. And he comes in and he goes, Robbie, you are hardwired. The need in the world that you are best suited to meet, Robbie, is potential. I've made you for that. All of this stuff that just seems like a Lunchable, I want to use that to speak truth into a world that doesn't know who they are and doesn't know that they have more to offer the world and doesn't know that they are stitched in their DNA from their creator with a purpose. I want to use you to help people and to help things reach their potential. And it was just like a moment of clarity. And it became a litmus test, a filter through which I now saw the world. And so I put it out in front of me, and it was looking at my job, looking at my kids, looking at my influence, looking at my opportunities, and going, okay, I've got to dial it in. I've got to focus on potential. And so I was working at the school at that point in time, and all of a sudden I became really aware that if I'm about potential, I was the right person to start that school, but I'm the worst person to maintain it. Like, I'm just no good at it. I was working outside of my God-given gifts, talents, and abilities, and I was trying to shove that square peg in the round hole like Jason talked about last night, and it was getting to the point where I was just embracing mediocrity, and God was going, are you ready? Do you trust me? Do you believe that I can take this and I can do something amazing? Are you ready? And one day I did a 360 review. I asked the people around me to tell me, real simple, I'm not a very smart principal, school principal. Just like, tell me what I suck at and tell me what I'm good at. That was my 360 review. That was leadership for me. And so my staff came in and a bunch of them said, oh yeah, you're good. Oh, and you came in. And it was real flat. And then one person said, you're not here as much as you used to be. If you're the leader of this school, you need to be here. And it just hit me, and I was like, she's right. And honestly, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not what's best here anymore. And the person who said that is. She's way better and gifted in the area of administration and the details and all of the stuff that needs to happen just to keep things legal, to keep that school open. And I looked at that, and I knew I needed to resign. So I came home. My wife loves these days. I come home and I go, hey, babe, school board meeting's next Monday. I'm going to submit my letter of resignation. Like, jaw drop. No, you're not. To do what? And I was like, I don't know. But I believe in God's economy, and I believe that he's told me that I'm supposed to be about potential. And at this stage of this school, the potential is up to a spot where it needs to be maintained, and there's something that God's calling greater. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but I have to do this, babe. Don't trust me, trust God. And she wrestled with that. And I went before the school board, and I stood up in tears, and I said, I'm submitting my letter of resignation. And they're all... And I said, well, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I don't know yet. You have three kids, Robbie. You should probably know. I don't know, but I know that he's got something for me. I'm going to finish out the school year. It was about this time a few years ago in the school year, and I resigned. And I said, I want to transition well. I want to set this next person up to be successful and so that the organization has nowhere to go but up as I start to take off. And so I want to transition well, and I trust that God has got something for me. And over the few years previous to that, I had started consulting with a little company here in town that a friend of mine ran called Cybernautic, a web design company. You know, logical next steps, landscape and interior design, Bible theology degree. Logically, you should be a special education teacher. Oh, you should start a school. Yeah, and then you should probably work for a web design company, because you know that, right? Now, this is God's economy. That doesn't seem to make sense, but as I began praying and talking and meeting with wise people around me, it just became really clear that this company and the leader in particular of that company was wired for some greater potential and that they needed my help for a season. And so I step in, and I got to make up my own job title and my own job description, and they gave me the title of Vice President and CPO. That's cool, right? And so my job duties are to help the leader to become a better leader, to help him reach his potential in his home with his marriage, in his parenting, to help him to lead in the context of the church and the ministry. Some of you are going to Kenya this summer. That's the guy. And so I get to help him become a better leader and help grow what God's doing over there. And I get to help him take better care of the people and grow the business. And then that was the first part of my job description. The second part is that I lean into the team of people who do smart things in the web world. I don't know. It's like code and things. I don't know. So I invest into them, and I help them figure out their unique God-given gifts and abilities, and I help them find meaningful work, and I work with them to create better strategies to better serve the clients that we serve. And people are like, "You're doing what now? You work at a web design company?" I'm like, God's economy. And now I get to help create new process to create better products to better serve people out in the world so that nonprofits like Encounter get to launch a new website and so that for-profit companies get to better serve and meet needs out in the world, and I get to help do that. My title is the Vice President and then CPO. Vice President is the title for the world's economy so that when I'm in a room, people think that I'm something special and they feel like, "Oh, okay, the Vice President is here. Now we will buy your product." Okay, that's kind of there. But then I said, "I won't take this job if I don't get to make up my own title, because we're a tech startup company and we can do that." And so I said, "I'm the CPO, I'm the Chief Potential Officer. That's on my business card." And so I'm the Vice President and Chief Potential Officer for a company, and I've been able to help that company grow from one office to four offices around the state of Illinois. I've hired a great team of people, and I'm hiring some more who are in this room this morning. I'm so excited what God's going to do through a company that does stuff on the web. Is that exactly what I thought I would be doing? Is it the destination that I was praying for when I was your age? I don't think so, but it's better. It's actually better. And so as I've continued to dial in the lens, last year, about this time, actually at this retreat, I was just overflowing. God was doing so much cool stuff. And a lot of people were wanting kneecap-to-kneecap time with me at the Coffee Hound in my office, because they're going, "I hear you're the guy that talks about calling. Help." And I was overflowing. I had all this stuff I wanted to invest in people, but I didn't have enough time because I was not going to give up my role as a husband and father at home. And so I had this tension. I just started asking God, "I want to do more. I want to be able to be more used by your kingdom. Can you take this Lunchable and can you do something?" And one morning, God typically speaks in two different ways to me. There's red light, yellow light, green light. Any of you played that game? That's one of the ways that God speaks to me. It's just the Holy Spirit's inside and I'm walking and I'm doing my thing and it's like, "Oh, red light. Okay, not going there. Cool." And then sometimes there's opportunities that come up and it's like, something's not quite right yet. So don't like step all the way through the door, but don't like run away either. And then sometimes it's just green lights. Crowbars left in the closet, no Cheeto fingers needed, and I'm walking through the doors that God opens, and it's just, that's the day-to-day living with the Holy Spirit inside of me and inside of you. And then some days, He speaks loud and clear. It's like He sends a text, and it's usually one word or a short phrase, and then He gives my mind permission to run. And so one morning at Panera South, God showed up real loud and clear in my head and was like, "Robbie, I want you to work on this project. I want you I want you to take this process that you've been going through over this last few years, and I want you to invest it into people in a way that can be more replicable and can meet more people's needs. And I was like, yeah, woo, this cinnamon crunch bagel and iced coffee, all right, woo. And I'm writing down ideas, and my mind is just going because he's wired me to be strategic and ideation and futuristic, and I'm just like, woo, yeah, this is great. God is going to use this Lunchable to feed this community. I was so excited. I texted my wife. I was like, babe, I cannot wait to tell you what God said to me this morning. I go to a meeting that afternoon, and when I had transitioned from the school to beginning to work with Cybernautic, I went only on 75% time with Cybernautic and left 25% time to kind of be free to do consulting and speaking and stuff, because I wanted to be able to have enough time to be at the Coffee Hound to kneecap with you guys. And one of the biggest contracts I had was still with the school district. And I went to a meeting with the school district, and they said, hey, Robbie, in man's economy, the state of Illinois is not doing so hot. Maybe you guys have caught the memo. And so we're not going to be able to renew your contract next year. And so that morning, God was really loud, and he was like, this is what I want you to do. This is what is next. And I was like, woo! And then that afternoon, it was like, hey, Robbie, $22,000 of your family income gone. And I had the decision to make. Am I going to be honest with my wife? That night I went to our community group and we met. I picked up a couple of kids. She picked up a kid. We run like a small logistics company just to get our family places. And so we show up at family group that night, and the kids are playing with other kids. And my wife said, so tell me about it, because she remembered the text in the morning. I didn't send her the text in the afternoon. And she's like, tell me about it. And I was like, and I had that moment where, like, do I tell her? I don't want to tell her. I'm supposed to provide. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I said, babe, God was really loud this morning, and he told me some things to do, but this afternoon I met with Gary, and, babe, I lost the contract. I don't know what I'm going to do. I started to cry. Now, my wife needs to be provided for. That's one of the biggest needs that she has in our relationship, and I need to be filling my purpose. And so all of a sudden, we're at this decision point, and I've never seen the Holy Spirit more clear in my wife until that day, and she just said, does what happened this afternoon change what God said this morning? I was like,
no.
No. Woo! And I was like, who are you right now? No. What happened this afternoon? $22,000 of income is no big deal for God. Providing for my family is no big deal for God. He turned a Lunchable into enough food for 17,000 people or something, right? Like, his economy, he's got this. Robbie, stop freaking out. I told you to do something. Do you trust me? I tell the sea to calm and to stop. I tell water to become wine. I bring dead people back to life. I heal the sick. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And so I began to step out in faith. And then I began to use crowbars. And then I just wanted to eat Cheetos. And then I began to step out in faith. And over the course of the next year, God's done some really incredible things. And he has more than provided. People have believed in what I'm doing and have come on and supported me through my role here at Encounter financially. The things that have been going on at Cybernautic have been going apparently well enough, and God's been faithful to what's been happening, and my boss just said, I'm just going to double down. We're going to take care of you. And all of a sudden, what seemed like an impossible chasm, a hole, something that was going to keep me from being able to do what God had called me to do, God just was like, bro, I got this. And what I realized in that moment is that God needed to do that. He needed to take 22 grand away because he needed more of my time and energy and effort to focus on his project. And he needed to buy up some real estate in my wife and I's heart about finances. And he got a little bit more real estate. There's still more for him to take over. And some really incredible things have happened. And over the course of the next few months, things started to happen as I worked on that project. And part of that part of that work you guys are experiencing this weekend. And in the coming months, that's the Hyatt Hotel in Uptown Normal. And in the coming months, I'm going to be doing a series of conferences where I'm going to be taking people through the clarity and calling process and pointing them to God's economy. I'm going to be taking high schoolers and their parents, and I'm going to put them together for 24 hours, and I'm going to help them have more meaningful conversations about what's next after high school. None of this would have happened. But God got a hold of me, took me on this journey from the time of the dinner table to now, and he's going to use this, and he's like, Robbie, I do some of my best work with this. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I love God's economy. This weekend, as you've gone through this, go ahead and open it up to the big picture page. It's the last page. This weekend, as you've gone through this, I've had the opportunity to meet with a lot of you. And not all of you. I've got a few names written down here. I've got a few Lunchable stories written down here. Friday night, I got to meet Drew. And Drew told me her story. And at the end of it, she said, I've changed my major like 5 times already. And I'm about to get to the 75 credit limit. And I might be about to get kicked out of school. I don't know what I'm going to do. What does all of these things have to do? And she's like, I was interior design, and then I was social work, and then I was this. And I was like, what does God do? He takes your Lunchable. Drew, he takes all of that, and he wants to use that. I got to hear Cameron's story yesterday. I got to hear about his doubts and his wrestling. And the crazy thing about God is that he will take our doubts about God, and he'll use that. And he'll feed thousands. Cameron, I believe that there's something great for you coming ahead. I got to meet Alex Friday night. Alex's whole life had been focused on gymnastics. And then her junior, senior year, she had a back injury that took her out of the game. And her whole identity was lost. I believe God's going to use that scar. I believe God's going to use that scar to expand your territory and expand your influence. I got to meet Sarah yesterday, who drew that beautiful chalk drawing out on by the lake. And she was going on and on and lighting up about 19th century pop art and some artist who drew noodle hair. And I was like, I was lighting up inside because the guy who's over here going potential, I'm going, I see who you are becoming. God, please use me to help her go from here to here for your kingdom. He's going to take noodle art and he's gonna do something great. Do you believe that? I got to spend some time with some alumni, Joel and Haley. And I know where they live now. They live by where my in-laws live, and it's a county that seems like there's not a lot going on, and it's hard sometimes to be able to go, where is the kingdom of God here? And I got so loud, I told you all to go and be quiet, and then I went into the little kitchen where the alumni were, and I was like, I've been wanting to meet you guys, and I'm just like yelling, and everyone's like, Phil's like, Robbie, you told them to be quiet, and you are so loud right now. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm hearing their story, and I'm hearing their struggle, and I'm going, God wants to use you in Vermilion County to wake people up. And he's going to take that Lunchable that seems like, what can you do here? And he's going to feed thousands. Last night, I got to spend some time with Chris. Chris is going to leave us here today, and he's going to head back to Rockford because he graduated in December. And Chris has got a story of brokenness, broken relationships, broken boundaries. And I believe that Chris has got work to do in Rockford in a place that's pretty dark. But some light has begun to crack in his heart. And I believe that God is going to do crazy things in Rockford through a guy like Chris who doesn't have it all figured out yet. But I believe that there's someone like Chris who's 10 years ahead of him in Rockford who's looking for someone to disciple and looking for someone to invest into and to take their broken story and to invest into him so that he can turn around, so that Chris, when he shows up in Rockford on his broken street, can look behind and look down the street and go, there's a 12-year-old kid over there who's in the same jacked up situation that I was in, and I'm going to help him get out of this. That's God's economy. Discipleship is how God changes the world through our Lunchables. What can God do with a broken story? He can feed thousands. Chris, I'm excited about what God's going to do for you. And Kaylee and Rachel and Willie and Katie and Natalie and Bailey and Claire and Emily and Lydia and everyone else that I got to hear your stories, I believe that God wants to use your story to meet needs in the world, to be your hands and feet, to be his hands and feet. There's a statement on that page, and the band, if you want to go ahead and come on up, there's a statement on that page that as you've looked through your timeline and as you've looked at the ups and downs of your life, that says this. I'm not 100% sure. So this is if someone were to come up to you after this weekend and go, hey, what are you doing with your life? What are you going to do when you grow up, when you walk across the stage, when you're done here? What are you doing? Where are you going? This question gets asked all the time. And here's what I desire, and I'm asking God to create a response for you that says, I'm not 100% just yet, but I know for certain that there is something about helping with fill in the blank. Take the word cloud of all the stuff that's been going on this weekend, and I don't even know, but I just fill in the blank and say, I don't know, but I've got this Lunchable. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but I'm going to invest my life into that direction. Y'all, we spend way too much time praying and asking God for a destination when he's constantly giving you direction. Let me say that one again. We constantly are wasting too much time praying and asking God for a destination when he is constantly speaking and guiding you with direction. Maybe we need to let the destination of what's going to happen next and where I'm going to go and what job I'm going to have and who I'm going to marry, maybe we need to let that die and surrender that at the cross, and let's start leaning into the direction that God is giving us through red light, yellow light, and green light every day to just simply do the next right thing. Apparently there's someone across the street from you that just needs to tell their story. Apparently there's someone right next to you that might need 19th century pop art noodle hair. I don't know. But what I know about this generation, and that we want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, we want to have meaning and purpose in our lives, and we always think, I can't wait till someday. But God's economy is about today, not someday. We know that someday's taken care of, so we don't need to worry about someday once you're in Jesus. You know, we don't need to worry about someday. Yeah, he gives us some times to make some plans, but we hold those out loosely before the Lord. He wants us today to do the next right thing. There's an author that I follow, Shauna Nyquist, and she says, do your thing with great love right now. But my thing is pop art noodle hair. Do it now for my kingdom. It's a Lunchable. I'll do it. I'll use it. Over the next few moments, we're going to have some worship playing, and we've got communion set up. Is it in the back? All around the gym, all around this area. Okay, cool. And here's what I want as they start leading into worship. I want you to spend some time working on this last page and working on this sentence. You don't have to have the destination figured out yet, but you do need to take advantage of the direction that God is giving you right now. And when you're ready, I want you to take that measly Lunchable statement, and I want you to bring it to the banquet table of the Lord, knowing all that we've learned about communion over the last few weeks. The God who does amazing things and fulfills promises and dreams. I want you to take that, and I just want, there's going to be alumni and staff around at these communion stations, and I just want you to say your statement to them. I don't know 100% sure what it is yet. Maybe you've only got one word, potential. Maybe you've got a few things. I don't know. Bring your Lunchable to the Lord. And then they'll pray over you real quick and give you communion. We've been saying for the last year now, as we've embraced our mission statement as a ministry, that we press Jesus deep into the hearts of our students so that the gospel will take root in all corners of the world. We spent some time last night with seniors and people who are going to be going out into all corners of the world after this. And so for those of you, that means you're going to take this Lunchable and you're going to head in the direction that God has been giving you, and you're going to trust that he's got it figured out, and just do the next right thing. Go take Jesus into your corner of the world. And for those of you who are still here, the corner of the world that we need you is here at ISU's campus. And they don't need you to be more like other people. They don't need you to get caught up in comparison. They don't need you to try and shove square pegs into round holes. That campus needs you to be fully alive. Bring that to the Lord this morning. Take everything that he's been speaking to you this weekend, and let's surrender that to him. Let's give him our Lunchable. And I just picture that kid. I heard a sermon this summer about this, and I just picture that kid being like, look at all that food. Oh, that Lunchable. Wow. It just keeps coming out of the basket. There's just fish and loaves everywhere. I mean, just his neck had to hurt. I believe that that's what God wants to do. Do you trust him? Has he proven this weekend that he is a God who can do anything and wants to do something with your Lunchable? Let's pray. God, you are a big God. You hold the planets and the stars in place, and you know every hair on our head. You know every random thing that makes us light up. You know every story in our past that cut us down or that felt like the lowest low. You know all of it. You were there for all of it. And we believe that you, God, are the God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And we believe that you can take the seemingly messed up Lunchable that is our lives. You can use that. You can use that to feed people who are hungry for real life. Would you move in us? Would you speak to us right now? Would you communicate to us what is the need in the world that we are best suited to meet? And would we bring that before you? And would you use it, God, to multiply your kingdom? We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.